Alex, you're welcome to come forward. I want to invite my friend Alex. He's also a missionary we've been supporting for the past 2 years. You're welcome to come forward. So when I came to Grace, Alex had just left to go to East Asia. And I hope you feel comfortable. I'm going to need this. I'm comfortable. So he had just left. And so I met Alex on Skype in my apartment when we had just moved here. And so got to know Alex. And even though we had only met our first conversation, honestly, I felt like we were friends. You know, I felt like you were my brother. I want you to be successful and very encouraged by our time together and our conversation. So I'm looking forward to this morning just to hear some of the ways you have been processing your time home. Alex is now back from the mission field. He spent 2 years. And I want you to share some of this, but just so you know, Grace Church, he's done some phenomenal things. So God has worked through this young man, and I encourage you this morning to hear what God has to say through Alex. So Alex, before we get started, let me just pray over you, man, if you don't mind. God, I do thank you this morning that we can hear from Alex. God, I'm amazed by the way you've worked through this young man and the conversations he's had, the ways he's been able to share the gospel. The ways that he's encouraged my heart just through following the ways that he's trusted in you over the past 2 years. So God, I pray that you would calm his nerves this morning. I pray that you would speak clearly through him. God, that we'd be encouraged this morning to go and take the grace you've given us beyond our community and into the greater Kingston area. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Alex, I would love if you could share an overview of the past year and an overview of your ministry in East Asia.
Okay, yeah, for sure. And I did want to say thank you, Kent. It's true. I think in maybe the first month or 2 months of me being there, it was right around Christmas time that we had our first Skype call. Yep. And Grace Church has been, oh, hey, Mom and Dad and Aunt Jane. I didn't know you were going to be here. Grace Church has been such a blessing for me. I'm very thankful for the partnership I've enjoyed with you as a church body and with Kent in particular as a friend the past year and a half. I think it's a testament to the way that you guys have been praying for me and thinking of me that when I showed up this morning, several faces that I was not so familiar with all recognized me right away. I felt a little embarrassed or guilty, wondering if I should know, but I am really thankful for all of you who have been praying for me and praying for my team and for the whole work that God is doing in East Asia. For me, the past year, what that work has looked like, I don't want to get bogged down in the details. I know it's easy for me to do that, so I think I'll just kind of I'll show a little bit of our vision, what my team's vision was for what we were doing with campus ministry overseas, and then a little bit of the general, what does that look like?
That'd be great, thanks.
So I worked for an organization, Campus Crusade for Christ. Now they go by CRU, and kind of our vision as a team working for CRU on a campus in East Asia, we want to see students come to know the Lord. We're primarily an evangelical ministry, so we focus on sharing Christ through evangelism. We want to see students come to know the Lord, and we want to see them be built up in a church and built up in maturity so they can then also go out and share their faith and their love for Christ with their fellow classmates. So that was kind of our vision for I was on one campus in particular this year of about 36,000 students. What that looks like practically really is just meeting students, step one, and then being as involved in their lives as possible. It meant sometimes staying up late on a Friday night to help students with their English assignment. A lot of students came to us for help with English. We started an English club to get to know students. Some of us joined sports clubs. My roommate and teammate, he joined the football team. I joined for one day, but I got injured, so I left. And through that, having students then get to know us and then inviting them over to our apartments, it became such that there was one guy who came over to our apartment almost every week, and then he eventually wound up accepting the Lord, and he would then ask me, ask me questions at night, like, how do I pray, and how can we reach this friend of ours, Steve, how can we share the gospel with him and with my parents? There were other students involved in our English club that would come to our campus fellowship that met once a week, and there they were built up, and a few of them eventually started attending a local church and were baptized. And so that's kind of the picture, is that we meet students where they're at on campus in their clubs and in their lives, and then we, by the power of the Spirit, live a gospel-centered life in front of them and are there for them, and also proclaim the gospel so that then they come to know the Lord and are built up and willing to go out in the power of the Spirit and do the same thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome, man. Could you share just some of the ways you've seen God provide for you in ministry this past year?
Yeah, absolutely. In ministry in particular?
Yeah. Or wherever you sense the Spirit.
Yeah. God's provision in my life has been incredible the last 2 years. I think the first place I look is just the fact that I was there for 2 years. And all the different steps it took to get there, with getting a visa and getting into a school and also raising support to be there. And again, I'm just really thankful for those who have supported me the last year. And I think that being able to go, financially and with a visa is testament to God's provision. God provided a lot of brothers and sisters that built me up in my own life. I think the local church that I got to be a part of, I was not expecting at all. When I went over there, I wasn't sure there was a church that I could attend. And also my team, to be around people who are older than me and further along in their walk. I think it was amazing that God provided that. I think I didn't know what to expect. Maybe went into it a little unprepared in that way. And I think how he provided in ministry, he provided opportunities for me to see where he was already working, and showed me that it's not really it's not my strength or my power or the words I say or what I do that, is going to bring about fruit in his ministry. One verse that has stuck out to me, I actually can't remember the exact reference, but some sow and some water, but all along it is God who's doing the growing. That one student who I mentioned, Floyd, who came over every week, at least once a week, and also came to church, so I saw a lot of him. He came to know the Lord early on in the semester, first semester, fall semester. We actually met the first day of classes. And the second day of classes, we went out for dinner, and it turns out that he had already, in high school, been attending a church that a teacher had invited him to go to. And this teacher was an international teacher from London, and I'm sure that teacher has no idea the seeds that he sowed, but I got to be there to kind of nurture that and to see God was already at work in his heart, and he was so ready to listen and to hear the gospel and become a Christian. Yeah. And I think it's stories like that just remind us it's not what we do, it's really God at work the whole time. So,
yeah, I think multiple things with that as well, just the reality that you never know how far along your ministry might go. Even if someone doesn't come to Christ when you're with them, somebody else may. You may be planting the seed that may yield fruit later. So it's never a waste of time.
Absolutely.
To think that God might save someone, or that God might take your words and multiply them into their lives. You talked about the church. I know I can take our church for granted. I can take church for granted in general. Why was your connection to the church in East Asia so vital to your sustainability?
Yeah. I think I'll jump right to a scripture in Galatians 3. There was a verse that kind of kept coming back to me all through the year. In Galatians 3, Paul asked the Galatians, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the power of the Spirit, are you now trying to, sanctify yourselves in the flesh?" Is what he says. Are you trying to live out the Christian life in your own power? And I think that I realized the last 2 years, and maybe especially this last year, that at times I was trying to do that, very often, in fact, I think doing ministry, whether you're a pastor or a missionary or you're ministering to your coworkers, wherever you are, it's gonna bring it out in you, kind of the ways in which you rely on yourself more than maybe anything else. You start to rely on your own intellect and your own ability. And I think that when you kind of hit a wall and you see that that's not going to change people's hearts, and it actually even starts to corrode your own as you get frustrated, as your own ability is unable to make fruit happen, you start, it actually leaves a space for the Spirit to show you can't do this on your own. Mm-hmm. You need me. And I think that a lot of the ways in which the Spirit chooses to work is through his people. And I think that the local church was the way in which I got to interact with other believers who encouraged me and who showed me that it was God who I needed to rely on and who I prayed with. So I think in that way it was so crucial. Mm-hmm. There was, in particular, a couple guys who were a little older than me who really who invested in my life in the same way I was trying to invest in other students' lives and reminded me that, you know, I can't do this on my own. So, yeah, that makes sense.
And I love that, too. I think there's a beautiful reality of when the church is working in its best, we're leaning on each other and we're helping one another grow. You were through, I mean, you experienced a lot these past 2 years, and I would love to hear maybe just a passage of scripture, something that you've really leaned on over the past a year, 2 years, that's really taken hold in your life.
Yeah. Well, I think apart from Galatians, one verse that we really live off of, at least when it comes to doing ministry, is 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Mm. Paul tells Timothy, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to other faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And that's kind of like, it's kind of almost like the model of doing discipleship in a nutshell, mm-hmm. I guess, that Christ left for us. I think it's also that idea of discipleship present throughout the Gospels implicitly and also in the epistles expressly, that we walk side by side with others.
Yeah.
And then that's how God is going to move. I think it's also encouraging that Paul there, he says, do this by the strength of the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Mm. You know, that you're going to, he wants you to go out and live life with others and pass on what he's taught you, but you're not going to do this on your own. You're going to do this in the power of the grace of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when I first talked to you, again, this was 18, 19 months ago, I knew you were growing a lot. This past 2 years have been, from what I've gathered, just from being a distance away, it's been a really great opportunity for you to grow as a young man. You dedicated quite a bit of time, so we shouldn't be surprised that God worked mightily through you and in your own transformation, growth as a disciple. But what are some ways that you specifically see that you grew as a disciple in these past 2 years?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've been jumping all over the place a little bit in my answers, because I remember, you know, I think, again, learning to become less reliant on self, mm-hmm. and having to rely fully on Christ, recognizing that, again, I can't save anybody else, and I can't continue to maintain my fellowship with God in my own power, that it's the mm-hmm. Spirit's power. I think I learned that over and over again as I would continually come to the end of myself and be forced to pray a lot, kind of cry out to God at the end of at the end of my rope, and recognize that, hey, I'm still a believer and I'm still with God, I'm still adopted as his son, and recognize that and realize, well, that's not because of me, obviously. I just came to the end of my rope. That's because of God. And I think that's the gospel, and mm-hmm. to be continually reminded of the gospel in that way, that it's not what we do, and it's not, you know, it's not that we went out on campus and shared the gospel seven times in a week, once a day, that we went to church every week. It's not that we, you know, were faithful at every opportunity to follow the Ten Commandments perfectly and love our coworkers perfectly, because none of us can do that. And the gospel is not that we are going to be able to do that. It's that we never will, but God's grace is sufficient to cover our sins and also to, you know, enable us to live out the relationship with Him,
yeah.
To live in relationship with Him.
Yeah, and even with that, to be overseas, to be in a new cultural context, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm from central Pennsylvania. Sometimes I feel like I'm experiencing cultural shock being in the Hudson Valley. you laugh. But the reality is, I know you went through some culture shock being in East Asia, being away from home, because there is no place like home often. It's just reality. You've kind of expanded on some of this, but how did your time in East Asia help you to grow in your dependency on God?
Yeah. Well, I think in those moments when I came to the end of myself, it was usually moments when I realized that I wasn't being faithful.
Yeah.
Or I didn't feel like I was being faithful to the work that I was doing. And I think in those moments I felt a lot of guilt and maybe some shame. There was times where I was like, I'm being supported to be out here. I was involved with campus ministry 4 years in college, and I feel like I should be able to, you know, I know the words to say. I should have the boldness to go out and say them, or to just meet up with guys and get to know them. And there are times where I just came to the end of my own ability and again realized that I couldn't do it my own. And I think those were kind of special times, because when I gave up on the shaming myself and realized that's not the answer either, I recognized that God still loves me.
Yeah.
And actually even realized through the words of my teammates and my local church pastors and those who reminded me, like, other people don't, my fellow believers don't view me that way either. I think I was reminded of the grace of God and how overwhelming that is, and how you can't pay for it through what you do, and you can't pay for it through shaming yourself. And so I think those times where I was relying myself and then came up short and then wouldn't go out and do maybe the work that I felt I was meant to do and felt shame for that, those were in a way special times to remind me ultimately when I'd gotten past the shame to realize the grace of God.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you sharing that, because I think we all can go through those seasons where we can, in our heart, think, this should be easier, but yet I see my own brokenness, I see my own need for Jesus, and yet God's grace is sufficient in those times, and He works through those times and grows us. He grew you so much, I believe, and I enjoyed those conversations, just so you know, as you were talking through some of that and wrestling through some of that that processing, that God's grace is sufficient. So I'd love to hear, you're home now, and by home, you just moved to Buffalo. It's another country to me, I've got to be honest. Another country.
It's all like Pennsylvania, actually.
Yeah. So, could you just like share some, what's the future looking like for you? How's God moving you forward now?
Yeah. So I've been back in the U.S. for about 2 months now. I spent a little over a month with my family and got to spend some quality time with them. And then I moved back to Buffalo, which is where I attended university for 4 years. And I'm moving back to a location that's familiar. I know a lot of the roads, you know, a lot of the places, the good places to eat. But in a lot of ways, it feels kind of unfamiliar going back to it. I'm returning to the church that I was part of, there, and their vision is that they want to see every man, woman, and child have repeated opportunities to experience the restoration of the gospel. They want to see grace outside their walls as well. And I love to be a part of that church, but going back there, it almost feels like a new church in a way, because a lot of my old friends have left, or they seem different, and I'm sure I seem different, and I have to get reconnected there. I have a new job starting tomorrow. I'll be working at a lab hourly. I'm looking forward to being there. I think there's a lot of young people there, and I see it's a new, you know, it's the mission field that God has me at, is wherever I am, and this new workplace is, well, we'll see tomorrow, my orientation and training. Yeah. So I think new church, new workplace, and new territory too. I think all of us at some point, a lot of us at the end of high school, some of us going to college or maybe the military, but once you're past that, up until that point, everything's been decided for you, you know, school into college, and even going abroad for 2 years was pretty natural, having been a part of that campus ministry for 4 years and then just going and working with them for 2 years almost felt like a natural next step. But now being at the end of that, it's kind of the first time in my life where I have a lot of different avenues I could take, I guess, and where things aren't decided for me. And so there's some concern there, I think. Something to be recognizing is at that point, too, it's like I have to be walking with the Lord continually and mindful of where I'm involved with the church, because nobody's going to hold my hand to do it, and mindful of living out a life devoted to the Lord.
Yeah.
So that's what's kind of next.
Yeah, awesome. And, brother, what are some ways we can pray for you? Obviously, first day of work's tomorrow. Yeah. Pray for that. But what are some ways we can be praying for you and for the ministry you were a part of?
Yeah, I think just continuing in what I was saying, in this new territory, that I would continue to... Yeah. Keep up those spiritual disciplines, continue to be a part of the local body, to continue to serve there, and to be also seeking in my personal relationship with the Lord to be reading the Word, reading the Scriptures, and praying. I think to be willing to do the work and to have a recognition, to continue to have that recognition that it's not through my own strength that I'm doing that in this new period of life. I think in some ways it can be really hard on your walk with the Lord being a missionary, but I think in some ways it can be really easy too and helpful. And now coming back from that to not kind of backslide in any way, if that makes sense. That's for me personally. I think, too, you can pray for those who I love who are still overseas and for the church in East Asia. Continue to pray for the church there, that God would grow it.
Absolutely.
And it has been growing, and they've even been sending a lot of missionaries, so you can pray for them, especially to Southeast Asia and Turkey. I think that I've seen in the last 2 years, and I've heard from a lot of individuals who are involved with the church there, that they kind of have a vision to go out into some of those areas that are harder for Westerners to reach, into the, you know, I think it's 1040 window. Yeah, to go to the Middle East and to go to Southeast Asia and to Africa. And I think by God's grace, they've been able to do that recently. I think also just pray for them without making it a focal point. Pray for them in the midst of, the relationship between the government and the church is not great, but I think what I've seen is they don't consider that to be a detriment. In fact, I think in the midst of persecution, they see that as a strength, something that causes them to rely on the Lord even more and grows their faith. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for getting to see a lot of brothers and sisters who are East Asian and walking with them, and I just would ask you guys to continue to pray for them and pray for the church there. And if you guys want to continue partnering with that country in some way, you can ask them about it afterwards.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Well, I hope you've learned something this morning. There's so much we can glean from Alex's experience. Dependency on the Holy Spirit, of course, but dependency on the Holy Spirit's work through us, that we can lean on each other, just as you experienced. Dependency on the Holy Spirit in times of trouble. Life is not always easy, but man, we can learn and grow in those hard circumstances. In just the reality that God is at work in another part of the world. Literally, the opposite side of the world in East Asia, God is doing amazing things. The church is growing dramatically. It's growing far more greater than it really is in the United States, the other side of the world. And though it's not easy, God is working through people like Crew, like your organization. And we can be in prayer. We can be in prayer that the church that over there already met, they already had their time of worship together, but God is doing amazing things all around the world. And we can be excited to know that the same Spirit that is at work here, the same Spirit that is at work in East Asia. So can I pray for you, brothers? We conclude
Absolutely.
Our time. God, I do thank you for Alex. God, I thank you for just his willingness to put aside 2 years of time, to dedicate 2 years to the mission of your church in East Asia. God, we ask that you would continue to work through your church, God. We know you're not finished yet, Lord. There are greater things to come, and we look forward to hearing more stories of the ways you will work. God, I pray for Alex now as he's transitioning from being on staff and crew in East Asia to now being in a full-time position in New York State. God, we pray that you would bless him. God, give him opportunities to continue to be on the mission field, because the mission field is not just in East Asia. It's not just in other parts of the country. It's here and now, wherever you put us to be. We are on your mission field. We are doing your mission. So God, I pray you would bless Alex. Bless us, Lord, as we seek to take grace beyond the walls ourselves, Lord, that we would learn and grow in our dependency on you, Jesus, knowing that you have greater things to do, Lord, till you take us home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for your time.